Salman radiallahu anhu was the guest of Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. So Hazrat Salman noticed the couple were married recently perhaps. So he noticed that the wife of Abu Darda wasn't dressed like how a newlywed is supposed to be dressed. So he asked, what happened? So she says that, well, your brother Abu Darda, he's got no need in life. Siyaban Mubtazilatan. She's wearing very simple, ordinary clothing. So this brother, Abu Darda, he's got no need. So Salman understood now that the woman can't speak beyond that. So anyway, Salman radiallahu anhu then noticed Abu Darda radiallahu anhu is standing up for the entire duration of the night. So he stopped him, going to sleep. After an hour, 2 hours, so read namaz again, stopped him. Then in the last quarter of the night, he allowed him to read tahajjud namaz. So anyway, Salman corrected him about his wife's clothing and the fact that he should have some relationship and that he should spend some time with his wife and apportion some time for his worship as well, for his ibadat as well. Anyway, this had come to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah Pak sallam had endorsed what Salman radiallahu anhu had done, saying that afqa, he is more understanding. The thing to understand was Salman is a Farsi. Abu Darda is a born Arabic. He understood it. Okay, there is a thing like distribution of time. And each person has a right, and the right has to be fulfilled. Sometimes these type of hadiths are quoted out of context. All the time you are holidaying, all the time you are partying, all the time going for a ride here, there, everything. And then when someone asks you about it, said, "Inna li zawjika alayka haqqa." Your wife also has a right. Now, what was the context? Context was totally different. So this is deceiving, misleading, wrong. Rather say, by weakness, make dua that I come on the sunnah. But don't use the hadith as a scapegoat for your wrong. See? The shaitan says that I destroy people with sins, break the bones with sins, but they break my back with istighfar. When I see that they have done this, they've broken me, all my efforts, whole lifetime effort, and they broke it down with istighfar. So what I do is, I forge certain new things, invent certain new things for them. And when I invent that new thing for them, then they go into it considering it to be an act of deen. When they consider it to be an act of deen, then they won't make istighfar for it. You perform namaz, did you make istighfar? Allah Ta'ala won't make namaz again. Ask Toba for that. Do you do that? Yes, you'll make istighfar for the weaknesses of your namaz, not for the namaz itself. So the shaitan says, then I mislead them through this. One great buzurg went past one kabristan and he noticed that two inmates of the kabristan were being punished. So he made dua and he went away. Later on, perhaps he may have asked Allah Ta'ala to show me what's going on now. So he saw that the punishment from one was lifted. And the punishment of the other wasn't lifted. So he asked, "Oh Allah Ta'ala, the punishment of the next, why is it not lifted? said, no, he invented new things. He invented new things, and as a result, his azab cannot be stopped. His azab is stopped, it finished. So when a person does a wrong, and he comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says to Allah ta'ala, أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِذَنْبِي أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيَّ, acknowledge that your favors upon me is abundant. Acknowledge all the favors. أَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِي, and I also acknowledge my sins and my wrongs. I accept. I don't want to justify the wrongs that I'm doing. So Allah Ta'ala is ready for him. Allah Ta'ala is ready to forgive him. But then you need to have that heart to come out to Allah Ta'ala and ask for forgiveness, ask for an apology. This hadith that I have quoted about Abu Darda and Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu, it is a reflection of Islamic social etiquette. Most of the fights and most of the misunderstandings and disputes, quarrels, all that do take place is because of one of two problems. One is mu'ashara is not right. Number two, mu'amalat may not be right. So most of the disputes, 90% of the disputes and fights is for what? It's because of the mu'ashara not being right or the mu'amalat not being right. Mu'ashara, in other words, social etiquettes, interaction. How do you relate to people? And one is your dealings. One is your relationship, interaction, social etiquette. And the other is your mu'amalat and your dealings. So if you examine the disputes of people, then it's one of two things. Either the dealings are not right, or either the social etiquettes, as you need to have them, you need to have those social structures, then you don't have it in place. Then the worst thing is that people don't consider social etiquettes as part of deen. Whereas you go and see in the Quran Sharif, 28th Sipara, the first surah. What is the first surah? Mujadala, that's the first surah, right? And there's approximately 1.5 or 2 rukus just on social etiquettes. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ نُهُوا عَنِ النَّجْوَى إِذَا نَاجَيْتُمْ فَلَا تَتَنَاجَوْا بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. What is all that? وَإِذَا قِيلَ انْشُزُوا فَانْشُزُوا يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. What is all this about? It's all social etiquettes. That how does a Muslim conduct himself? Now the Quran Sharif has spoken to you in 2 rukus consecutively, apart from the other places of the Quran Sharif where the Quran Sharif is speaking about social etiquettes. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tadkhulu buyutan ghayra buyutikum hatta tasta'nisu wa tusallimu. And again, one whole ruku, social etiquettes. Right. Here it's about the first ruku, that is Surah Mujadala. Allah Ta'ala is speaking about when you are speaking secretly, and then how should you conduct yourself? Where is it not appropriate? How is it appropriate? And when you have to, then how do you conduct yourself? As the hadith explains that if there are 3 people, then 2 people should not enter into a secret conversation leaving the third person. The third person will feel insulted, or he'll feel that they are conspiring against me. Why did they leave me out conveniently? But if there is a 4th, 5th person, and the 2 are secretly conversing, it's all right, because he won't feel that he's singled out. Here he'll feel that he's singled out. You see, Islam has guarded even the feelings of people. Even the feelings of people, Islam has guarded that. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had pitched his tent for i'tikaf, right? Then Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was given permission. Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anha was given permission. Then Hazrat Zainab came in, and she came in, pitched her tent, but she didn't do it the formal way, asking for permission. But all 3 azwaj mutahharat, intentions are good. You see one buzurg sitting in a masjid, don't you want to be there? So this is not just a buzurg, it's a nabi, and is the lead of all the Anbiya. Then Ramadan, then the last 10 days of Ramadan, And then to be in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the masquerader. So, Rasulullah, when he's seen this, so he says, Al birra turidna, are you people intending righteousness, intending sawab, or is it a competition, a rivalry? Obviously, wives have a little bit of rivalry, right? She's got that position, what about me? She's there, now she's thrown in, what about me? Now I'll get left out from the whole equation. How do you feel? You feel you're singled out, right? So Rasulullah says, take all this out. And take my tent out as well. Take all these tents out. He could have said, all right, take out these three tents, leave my tent. But he says, including my tent, take all out. Now that was as a consideration to Hazrat Aisha, who had formally received the permission. She had formally received the permission. So it was a consideration for her, that, see, now Nabi Sallam is going to sit in Atikaf and I will not be in Atikaf. So not my mistake and why I am being pulled out. Why am I being uplifted? See? Now as a mark of consideration, take their tents out also and take my tent out as well. Mark of consideration. That hadith that I explained sometimes earlier, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was offered in marriage Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anha, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't say yes and didn't say no. So it's a lengthy hadith I explained once before. But at the end, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came up to Umar radiallahu anhu and says, after Hazrat Hafsa has been married to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so Abu Bakr says that, see, when you had offered me, then I remained silent. I didn't say yes, nor did I say no. And the reason was that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already secretly mentioned this, that he has some intentions, though it was not confirmed. Right? Now if Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is intending, right, he has not yet confirmed the intention. Now, I know about it. Now, for me to go against the intention of Rasulullah obviously will be disrespectful. Nikah may be done, but I know that this is the intention of Rasulullah. Now, I go against it, obviously, it's not the right thing. And if Rasulullah had cancelled that intention, then I would have sent a proposal. So, I couldn't say yes, I couldn't say no. If I say no, then why did you send the proposal again? And I say yes, then I'm going against the intention of Rasulullah Pasam. I couldn't say anything. Now, Abu Bakr didn't need to give this explanation to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. But why did he give him that explanation? To respect his feeling. That he must have felt something, and then why is this person turned away? Why is he giving me such an attitude that he doesn't even reply? Person feels hurt. Someone phoned you, or you telephoned him, and he just slammed the phone down. How do you feel? Or how does he feel? Yes, unless that person is talking out of way, he's swearing, he's becoming nasty, and he's becoming whatever else, then you left the phone, then it's a different thing. Right? Or you're trying to avoid a fight, you're trying to avoid a quarrel, and you left the phone. Right? That's a different thing. Or that person is speaking out of way, he's speaking against the Sharia, he's speaking totally, something totally offline. So you had to express your disapproval, but this person is doing something totally off. When he's doing something totally off, then I need to express my disapproval. So I left the phone down. Yes, but small little things then, consideration, respect, feelings. Hazrat Rahmatullah explained once. See, this is an aspect of social etiquettes. You don't hurt anybody's feeling unnecessarily. Where you can, you endure. Where you can, you compromise within yourself. Let that person, let that brother of yours have the better end. You hurt yourself, it's alright, you brought that hurt to yourself. You're not answerable to anybody besides Allah Ta'ala. So finish, you hurt yourself, it's alright. You took the pain. But you didn't allow your brother to feel that pain. Now, there's so much of hadith explaining all this, you know, that you don't bring the pain unnecessary to your brother. Hazrat Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu's tawbah is announced, right? And Salima radiallahu anha, she's the first person because perhaps Rasulullah's turn is with Hazrat Salima radiallahu anha. So Salima radiallahu anha, she's from the Ansar, right? And she says, mustn't I go and break this news out? Because Ka'b ibn Malik, Hilal radiallahu anhu, all these people, now they are boycotted for such a long period, 50 days. Let me just go and announce this. She'll feel, obviously she'll feel. It's my brothers, my family. And let them joy, let them cheer, let them rejoice. So Rasulullah some cautions. See, the Tawbah has come, at night has come. After Isha, 10, 11 o'clock, whatever else. Right, now you're going to go and break the news now. What's going to happen? If someone had to have supper, they're not going to have supper. Because everybody is in a celebrating mood now. Everybody is in a rejoicing mood. They're not going to sleep. All going to come and congratulate. Mubarakbad, Mubarakbad. All going to feel it. Because they are thick like ever. Sahaba Ikram, as thick as ever. Right. When they are as thick as ever, then they're going to come straight away. They're going to come straight away. There was a barrier that prevented us coming to you. But now the barrier is uplifted. So now why shouldn't we come and meet our brother? It's your like your father, and you were prevented not to talk to him. And now the barrier is uplifted. Will you wait for the morning? You'll go straight away. You'll go straight away. So these people's sleeping will go away. They won't have a decent sleep. Let them enjoy their sleep. In the morning, go and announce the news. Again, you find the same incident of Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha. Right? The husband comes, consideration again, respect. Right? Alright. He wants to eat, he allows her to eat, she allows him to eat. Right? She feeds him. How's the child? Huwa askanu ma kan. He is resting in peace. Right? So she didn't speak a lie. But she didn't disturb the mood of the husband. So the husband wanted to have whatever relationship, all that was done, everything is done. In the morning now she breaks the news. Now had she broke the news straight away, would he have slept? Could he have slept the whole night? Could he have eaten? Could he have enjoyed himself with his wife for that night? But she took all the pain on herself. Let the husband be at ease. Tomorrow he has to face another day. No, man, I will go through this difficulty, but my husband lives in ease. Now that was the general feel in the Sahaba Kiram. Abu Hanifa rahmatullah is walking the street and there are people that are known to him, his students and people that hold him in esteem and respect. And one person is insulting him, badly is insulting him. I heard this incident of Hazrat rahmatullah. Abu Hanifa rahmatullah doesn't say a word, not a single word. Listens to him. With respect and dignified way, he carries on listening to him. Then as the turn comes for his home, so Abu Hanifa rahmatullah tells this person here. Now we proudly say, I'm a Hanafi, I follow Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, he was a genius of the age. He was like this and he was like this. But then did we study the details of his life? Or just one aspect of his life, you got it and said, I'm Hanafi. By Hanafi, just in one aspect, you incomplete Hanafi. Then you need to be a complete Hanafi. You are following him, then follow him properly, correctly. Otherwise, he can say that you betrayed me. Right? You are not faithful. If you are faithful, you are following me in other respects as well. But in one thing that was easier, you just accepted me there. And in other things, where you are supposed to be showing, really reflecting my colors, you had failed, you had betrayed me there. You are a traitor in that respect. How would Abu Hanifa rahmatullah feel? If he sees you like this. So Imam Sahib rahmatullahi carries on with him. And as the turn comes for his home, so Imam Sahib rahmatullahi tells this person here that he's insulting him and hurling abuse. He says, but you know what, my home is here. If you allow me, I'll continue. And if you still got some things to say, then I'll wait for you and I'll listen to all what you have to say. Lest it may be that I go away home and you say, I didn't give you the opportunity to say what you needed to say. What the man is doing, he is hurling abuse, insulting, humiliating, disgracing, and in the presence of people. Now this man, how is he doing it? Just hold the horse. Just hold it. Resist. Quiet. Now, what's the underlying factor? The underlying factor, never mind. Let my brother have the better end. Never mind, I suffer. I suffer that disgrace, that humiliation, that insult, whatever, let him have it. Now this was a general feel of the Muslims, and this is the very fabric of social etiquette. Really, we haven't understood Islam. When I see us today, we haven't understood it. Everybody is like that elephant that has gone into the town of the blind, you know. And You ask the one person, what is the elephant like? He says, the elephant is like a gutter, you know, down pipe. He must have held the trunk, so he felt it, say, thickness and all, so it's like a down pipe. So he asked the second person, by what's the elephant like? So he saw the leg of the elephant. Say, no, the elephant is a pillar. Blind or town of the blind. Third person, he went and he got to the back of the elephant. What is the elephant? No, it's a throne. So everybody got it wrong. They didn't get the true picture. So exactly the same, the true picture of Islam. What is the true picture? One is Abu Hanifa, what he would say. One is Rasulullah Paksam, what would he say? What would he say? Okay, but you say and you claim to be my ummati, but were you reflecting my sunnah in all dimensions of life? Were you reflecting it? Or just certain things, certain aspects you were reflecting, and things that were not tasteful to you, were not palatable to you, you just discarded it, and you discarded it very conveniently. How can I call you my ummati? If Rasulullah were to say that, overall, we know he's compassionate, he's merciful, right? But then to take advantage of the person that is compassionate, really, it's not fair. He will overlook still. I mean, our gut feeling of Rasulullah with his compassion and his love, he will overlook still. All this he will still overlook. But then, does this behove us? Look at Sir Sayyid, right? Sir Sayyid, the founder of Aligarh University. Khalis Dunyadar Admi. He's a pure businessman, right? He's got nothing to do with Islam. Alright, he worked for the Muslims, but Islam itself, then no, he didn't know what was Islam. From his works and all that, he didn't know what was Islam. But now I just want to show you one dimension of his life. One single aspect of his life. In the eyes of the English, he's respected, he's honored, he's held in a very high position. Very, very high position he is. Someone wants to confirm a job. So he went for an introduction. For an interview he went. And they asked him, you know, who are you? And I said, no, you're asking about my credentials. I am the son-in-law of Sir Sayyid. Oh, you're son-in-law of Sir Sayyid. Oh, all right. So quietly the Englishman went. Telephone, whatever means of communication. So-and-so person is here and he wants to confirm a job. We're interviewing him and he says that he's your son-in-law. So no, you must definitely give him a job and he's my son-in-law and you give him a job. Now, the job is confirmed, alhamdulillah, he's well now. Where he was earning peanuts, see? Now he's earning something. He's earning something. Not even walnuts. He's earning something now. Anyway, after some time, now this person goes to offer his thanks and gratitude to Sir Sayyid. That I say he's a pure worldly class person. He's got hardly anything to do with Islam, right? But now see the social structure within him. We, the so-called Islamic and so-called practicing deen, but do we have this social aspect in us? That let my brother have the bit of it. It's all right, I suffer a little bit of respect, a little bit of humiliation, whatever else, but let my brother have the bit of it. So, this person comes to offer his thanks, show his gratitude, you know. So Sayyid tells him, you know what, I only have two daughters, and both my daughters are married. Had I had a third daughter, I would have given it to you in marriage. But nonetheless, from today, this is the date, from today till I live, I will treat you like my son-in-law. And then true to his word, he would call the stranger home with his wife, with this person's wife. And both are strangers, him and his wife. And he will respect them, he will give them gifts, he will do for them like how he would do for his own daughter. Jewelry or whatever Indian tradition has got. He will do everything to make this person comfortable, that don't feel embarrassed, don't feel hurt about the whole thing. No, I will treat you as my own son-in-law. So you don't have to feel hurt. Now where do we get that type of social etiquette? Tujhe chira shawad hasil e maqam. How can you get this position? How can you ever get this position? See these people here, they had that social etiquette, respect. Again, the same Sir Sayyid Sahib, he's sitting with an Englishman. He was that high class. In the whole of India, he was recognized. Imagine how such a great person. Like how we had Mandela, right? Pre-apartheid, right? Or apartheid time, Mandela, and how they held him. So they were holding Sir Syed Saab like that, in such esteem, they were holding him in such respect. The whole India was holding him in such respect. So you must understand the personality, then you'll appreciate what I'm saying. Now he's sitting with an Englishman in his home, glass doors and all that, and he's looking, overlooking the turf and all that, and on the far end there is one well there, and he sees one fakir. So this Sayyid Saab is speaking to that fakir, he's speaking to this Englishman, and he says, you see that fakir, he'll, there near the well there, just now he'll take out his clothing, and he'll put one big jubba, like a big buzrug, and he'll have one tasbih with that big danas around his neck, and he'll put on a big nice fat amama, and then he'll come to me, and I won't give him 1 cent. You know, I won't give him 1 cent. Anyway, true to his word, this person changed his clothing, all that, he put on that big jubba and all that, one big amama, got one big tasbih in his hand, one tasbih around his neck, coming like a Sheikhul Mashaykh, he's coming in. Now, Sir Sayyid ignored him. And this person picked it up, okay, this man is ignoring me. So, this fakir tells Sir Sayyid, you're ignoring me, whereas this eye saw Ghulam Ali. Now, Ghulam Ali, rahmatullah alayhi, was the murid and the khalifa of Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jane Jana rahmatullah alayhi. And Mirza Mazhar Jane Jana rahmatullah alayhi's khalifa, Ghulam Ali's khalifas, and khalifas downwards, you know, this Ruhul Ma'ani and Allama Shami and all that, they all link up to Ghulam Ali Sahib. So he's not an ordinary person. Ruhul Ma'ani and Shami and all these things here. And their silsila ends up by Ghulam Ali. So anyway, the fakir says that you are ignoring me, whereas this eye saw Ghulam Ali. When he said this, Sir Sayyid went into a shiver. He went to his chest, you know, where he had all his wealth and all that brought in front of him. And then man took out about 10 whatever coins, gold coins at the time, 5 or 10 coins, and he took and he went away. Now that person went away, so this Englishman is taunting him. Just now you told me that you won't give him a cent and you left your whole treasure before him. So he says, you know what, I came out cheap. What? I came out cheap. Had he asked me to give me this whole mansion with all the belongings, I would have given him everything. You know whose name he took? Now you see, he was a totally worldly class person, but then when it comes to respect and dini emotions, it's so severe. They're so severe. Although I say that he's not a man to be a precedent in dini issues. He's not a person like that. But I just want to show you one dimension of his life, what we are neglecting today, social and our dealing. How weak we are in that respect. What was the standard of these people in that time? The same Sir Sayyid Saab, he's boarded a train, and both are introducing themselves. This person is introducing himself, and he asks Sir Sayyid Saab, where you come from? He says, I come from Aligarh. Oh, you come from that kafir's town, Sayyid, you come from the kafir? Yeah, I come from that town. And he's speaking like a bichara, like nothing happened, you know, nothing. Anyway, and he went on swearing, yeah, what a person this person is, and what wrong he's done, and how he has sold the Muslims and all that, you know. And so Sayyid is saying, yeah, man, make dua for this person, make dua for him. Really, he's done some disservice. Anyway, he carried on well with him. Now, it's a long suffer. Carried on well with him. In the meanwhile, it was meal's time, so this person took out his food and he's offering it to Sir Sayyid Saab. Sir Sayyid, he was reluctant. He said, no, you must eat. You've been such a friendly person for this whole duration. You must eat. No, I excuse myself. He said, no, but why? He said, no, I just excuse myself. But why? See, if you only know me, then you won't want to even spit in my direction. Oh, who are you? I'm Sir Sayyid. This person went and held on his kurta and said, please, for Allah Pak's sake, forgive me. You're wrong in whatever other respects, but the respect that you showed, the dignified approach that you have, really, I don't have any answer for that. I don't have any answer for that. Now, this is Islam. Respect, dignity, understanding people, personality, their position, their maqam, understanding them, treating them accordingly. I'm showing you from the Sahaba Ikram's life, I'm showing you from Rasulullah's life, I'm showing you now from the people that have got nothing to do in deen, their lives as well. But really they had that feeling for Muslims, the feeling for a structure, the feeling for the Muslim get together. And the bottom line was, let me feel hurt, let him be comfortable. I will feel hurt, it's alright. I will go through the misery, I will go through a difficulty, but let my brother be in comfort. In the Sahaba Ikram's life, don't we find the same thing? That goat head and going around seven homes, and don't we find that incident of that water and going, this person is dying, and that person is dying, and that person is dying. Don't we hear about the story repeatedly? So this aspect of social etiquette, really, we feel that it is not part of our deen. Na'uzubillah. Like I say, that shaitan, this is how he attacks. Shaitan says that I involve him in sin and then he makes istighfar. Then he invents things. I make him invent things. When he invents things, then he's not going to make istighfar for it. So now we have reached a point where we don't consider this to be part of our social structure. Al-Mawad Thanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi. One person has got a severe heart condition. He's a buzurg on his own way, but he considered Mawla as his senior. And he says, I'm recuperating about a heart condition. And meanwhile, his muris were all like higher class, very wealthy people, monarchs and wealthy people. So he wants to come down over to Thanabon for a recuperation process, you know, for the whole duration of recuperation, he wants to come here. It may take about 3 years, 4 years, whatever, but he wants to come down here. So Murad has arranged all for him. Because now he is treating that type of people. He's working with that type of people. So he's got so many khadims and so many attendants all around him. So all they came. Up till now you can still see the remains of that home, that whole settlement. About 10, 11 settlement. His doctor and his physician and his khadims and whatever else. So one whole settlement they had taken. Now it happened that one of Muantaira's murids, after Asr, normally people take a walk. So he's taken a walk and he went past those homes. So he saw something new now, so he took a walk there. So now, as curiosity has it, so as he went past, so he said, no, let me just go and greet the buzurg that is there. He went to greet him. He greeted him and he saw now this bunches and bunches of fresh seasonal fruit, grapes and whatever else, you know, everything is seasoned and bunches. So he just complimented, so much of fruit. So that buzurg felt a little bit ashamed. So he said, oh no, no. He gave a whole basket full. He said, no, take this. He was reluctant to accept it. But then when he insisted, he accepted it. And it went on. In the meanwhile, the news reached Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi. Okay, this is what transpired. So Mawlana asked him, leave the khanqah, go. Now the man is crying. No, Mawlana says, once you go, finish, khalas, you go out. In the meanwhile, it so happened that buzrug, he got to know about it. That buzrug that was there, who offered the grapes, he got to know about it. When he got to know about it, now he came to the khanqa. I said, I beg your apology, but this is what happened. That's what I heard. Is it true? He said, yeah, this happened. So I said, I'm asking for an apology on his behalf. Now, see, every person is not treated the same way. Now, this person has got a heart condition, right? Any type of stress will aggravate. But now, Mawlana has got it. He's got it in a very difficult way, because on the one end, this person's Islam needs to be done. If he just takes him into the khanqa now, then there's not going to be any remorse. When there's not going to be any remorse, the correction will not be complete. And if Murad totally ignores him, then this person is going to stress. So how do you reconcile the both? Avoid the stress and also get him back into the khanqa. How? So Murad just told someone there, or ask him what he wants. A little bit in a firm voice. Ask him what he wants. So he comes, Hazrat, I want you to make me maaf. I'll never do this again. Alright, come in. So now the stress is over, there is some remorse there, and the whole thing is back on course. But you see that consideration that has been made, man's condition, his halat, and some consideration was required. So Mu'ala made the consideration. Now this is that social etiquette that I'm talking about, that how you make consideration, how would you compromise within yourself for the comfort of your brother? Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullahi, he relates about him, his own personal self, his own personal life, that one high-ranking police officer had invited him. Mu'ala knew him very well. So respectfully, he declined the offer because the police officers, and you know, one bottle of Coke can also work. Sometimes 5 rand, sometimes 10 rand, sometimes one sandwich can work, sometimes one toffee can work. Everything and anything works nowadays. See? Just that how good you are at bargaining. See? So, anyway, Mu'ala declined the offer because he knows now, he doesn't want to embarrass the person, but when the whole, his whole income is revolving around haram, how can he accept his da'wat? He knows him firsthand. How can he accept the da'wat? And if he begins to inquire, interrogate him, then he'll feel insulted. Now both ways are better. The simple and the easier way is not to accept the da'wat. Anyway, it's finished. Forgotten. Now this person goes to the Sheikh's Sheikh, Mu'asan Puri Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. Hazrat, I got a da'wat on, you must come. So now definitely I'll come. And you bring Muli Zakaria also with. Now Muli Zakaria is the murid. But now he traced it well, you see. He traced in how to work this out. Anyway, Muli Sahan Puri Sahib Rahmatullah says, Sheikh, ke waha da'wat mein jana hai. Aap saath chalenge. Now he's in a quandary now. If he says that this person's income is haram, then he is divulging or he is disclosing the wrong of a Muslim. Right? He is advertising the wrong of a Muslim. Now, you're not supposed to be advertising the wrong of a Muslim. Unless now it's very, very important, it's a different thing. But under normal circumstance, you're not supposed to be advertising the wrong of a Muslim. So, that's the one problem. But then now, how does he go to this da'wat? Anyway, Sheikh said, now it was my Sheikh's hukam. On the one side is his hukam. On the other side, it's a wrong of a Muslim. And the hadith says, Man satara al muslimin. You conceal the fault of a Muslim, Allah Ta'ala will conceal your fault. Anyway, the simpler thing is, all right, I'll conceal the wrong of a Muslim. Went to the da'wat. Ate everything. Came out of the da'wat, and he put his finger inside his throat, vomited everything out, without the mezban and the host knowing about it. But you see again, what is it? The respect. Respect, consideration. That alim that went into Jannat, you know, we hear about this story repeatedly. He went to Jannat, why? He went into Jannat, consideration. That food was prepared without salt. Can you eat one lukma? One lukma without salt. One lukma, one morsel without salt, can you eat? And especially Ramzan time, you know, iftar time, and you're looking for a hearty meal. And here, the whole thing is spoiled. No salt at all. How will you feel? Bara bach jayega. The fuqaha also say, you know, that if the husband is a little bit short-fused, then you can't just taste the thing and throw it out again, spit it out again. Now, this woman here, and she slipped up. This man just eats it. Big Molana is about the first ustad in Darul Uloom Dioban. No, I won't divulge. I won't divulge. And ate it. Quietly ate it. Just on account of this one act of consideration, and the way God is Jannah. So this whole aspect of social etiquette revolves around consideration, respect. Thinking of the next person now, how will he feel better? How will this person feel better? How must I work with this person? How must I work with this person? Provided it's within the parameters. It's not beyond the parameters. It's within the parameters of deen and sharia. I'm not going beyond the parameters, but now how to please this person? Yeah, how to please this person? You have to carry all and work with them. So you see, Surah Hujurat, one entire surah has been revealed only to show us social etiquette. You look from the beginning right till the end, social etiquette. لا تقدموا بين يدي الله لا ترفعوا أصواتكم. How do you conduct yourself? Sometimes are occasions for you to ask, and sometimes are not occasions for you to ask. There are occasions for you to ask, and there are occasions for you not to ask. Sahabi asks, Dallatul Ghanam, what about a lost sheep? Falaka, awli akhika, awli dhib. So you can pick it up, it's all right. You can't find the owner, then you can have it if you are in that, you are in that position, in other words, you are poor, in constraints, you can have it. Or if you are wealthy enough, then you can have it, could give it to your brother. And if you're not going to pick it up, your brother is not going to pick it up, it's a lost sheep, what's going to happen? The wolf is going to devour it. فَضَلَّتُ الْإِبِلْ, what about a lost camel? مَا لَكَ وَلَهَا, مَا لَكَ وَلَهَا, لَهَا حِذَاؤُهَا وَسِقَاؤُهَا. What have you got to do with a lost camel? That thing has got its own shoes to wear, it's got its provisions, food provisions. So why do you ask about it? So everything is not an occasion to ask. Some things, if you just apply your mind, you can find the answer, you can find the solution. Why do you ask about it? Understand, Sahabi is being corrected. Perhaps someone can think, you know, that this person is greedy, looking out, hey, if you see a lost camel, must look around, look for a lost camel, just pick it up. So, مَا لَكَ وَلَهَا, what, how are you related to this lost camel? This type of thing, how are you related? That thing can fend for itself. لَهَا سِقَاؤُهَا وَلَهَا حِزَاؤُهَا, it's got its shoes, it can walk. It's strong enough, you know, it can defend itself. Rasulullah, the Sahaba Kiram once, and some issues were being discussed, see. So people began to ask, and they began to ask more than what was required for them. Comes in Bukhari Sharif, more than. فَأَلَحُّ فِي السُّؤَالِ, they kept on asking. And asking beyond, see, sometimes it's genuinely needed, and you're talking within needs. And sometimes you're asking for him, you know. This man is eating crayfish, so how you'll ask, Mulana, what about crayfish? What's the masla about crayfish? Why? Okay, usku sunana hai, you know. He's eating all that, he's relishing on that, so usku sunana hai. So you don't need it, but you want to strike some points against the next person. And then you'll come out very easily. No, but he's doing something haram now. I'll stop him. Otherwise, this will go to Jahannam. You see. So you want to show him a point. Really, what's within your heart is you want to show him some points. It's not the real, switch on that light. It's not the real concern for that Muslim. It is to strike points against that person. Someone asked Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, same thing. When he used to come to Durban those years, early 80s, I said, Jinga ka ka hukam. Now, many a times he picks it up. Tum apne liye puchte ho ya dusro ke liye puchte ho? You're asking about yourself. You're asking for some other person. So it's not a genuine question. It is dusre ko sunana hai. So fa'alahu fi sual. So sometimes that question is not appropriate for you. You're not going to practice it, and you don't have any intention to practice it. You don't have that concern. But just now, you want to make it a little bit of a pastime, you know. Sawal jawab, you're just meant to make it a pastime. One is, someone has got a genuine need, then he'll ask, and he'll ask properly with concern and with fikr. And one, now you're traveling with someone, and he's just going on asking questions. Now, that's a pastime. And what's the dalil for it being a pastime? Had it been at home, he wouldn't have asked questions like this. Now, he wants some pastime, he wants to engage you in some or the other. So Rasulullah got disturbed. One person asked, Ya Rasulullah, who's my father? In other words, people used to have some doubts about his lineage, you know. This person is a genuine, he's coming from a genuine stock, or is it that he's just linked up to a certain family? So Rasulullah told him that this is your father, Abu Huzafa or something, whatever else it was. Then Rasulullah announced, ask what you want. Now, some of the Sahaba Kiram understood that Rasulullah is disappointed. Right. And many of them thereafter, the hadith says, goes on, that their heads are buried in their clothing and all are crying. But Umar radiallahu anhu took the initiative and asked, Ya Rasulullah, Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasoola. Na'uzu billahi min ghadabillah wa ghadabi rasooli. That we are pleased with Allah Ta'ala. Whatever Allah Ta'ala says us, we are pleased. We are pleased with the Rasulullah sallam, whatever he says. Right? And we are pleased with the injunctions of Islam. Whatever Islam says, we are pleased with it. See, that is the spirit of Iman. Whatever Iman tells us, we are prepared for it. Whatever Allah Ta'ala tells us, we are prepared for it. Whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, we are prepared for it. Right? The highest is we accept it wholeheartedly and practice it straight away. But if you can't, then at least we accept it wholeheartedly, and how much we can, we try and work out. We don't then compromise it. We don't compromise. We don't. It's not our property. Our property, we can compromise. My own property, right? It's 5 rand, I'm selling you for 2 rand. It's all right. It's my own. But the next man's property, I can't sell you for 2 rands. And I can't sell it to you. How can I sell it to you? I can't sell it to you. It's not mine. I don't have the right. It's mine, I can. I do have the right. But it's not mine, I can't. I'll get charged for it. I'll get expelled from my work. So Umar radiallahu anhu understood this. So Rasulullah then cautioned the Sahaba-i-Kiram. This hadith comes in Bukhari Sharif. Rasulullah cautioned the Sahaba-i-Kiram. You see, so you don't just make deen a pastime, a leisure, an engagement, and just we'll get some entertainment and just ask questions, etc. Let's have a session of questioning and answering just for entertainment's sake. No, you have got a genuine feeling, genuine concern, genuine fikr, and you're asking. Mind is made up. No, I'm asking this, and I'm going to practice this. Then, this is going to be the first thing. And the second thing, then I'm not going to shop for better answers. I have the confidence in the person. I'm going to go to him, and I'm going to accept him, whatever he says. Allah the Tawfiq.